You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
Alright, everyone, tuck your blankets up tight and let me sing you a lullaby to sleep. I have a place where dreams are born and time is never planned. It's not on any chart, you must find it with your heart. Never, never land. It might be miles beyond the moon or right there where you stand. Just keep an open mind, and then suddenly you'll find Never Never Land. You'll have adventures if you stay there, like that weirdo guy who wears the big hat, and has tea parties with rodents, and sings Have a Very Merry Unbirthday to you. And that's my home where dreams are born and time is never planned. That's probably why that white rabbit is always so late. Though to be fair, I wouldn't like working for that evil queen anyway who likes to behead people in Never Wonderland.
Yay! Lovely. Clap, clap, clap.
Oh, seriously, why are those guys here? Was J.M. Barrie and Lewis Carroll buddies or something? I do not get this exchange program. Hello, everyone. Today, we are reviewing Come Away, the latest Angelina Jolie starring fantasy drama. A lot of Peter Pan and Alice's Adventures in Wonderland woven in. I am Mindy, your resident Peter Pan, because in the musical, he is always played by a woman. And with me, we have our resident Tinkerbell, Miss Harmony.
I was going to sing, and now I'm totally not going to, but hello.
And of course, our fearless Tiger Lily, Miss Jen.
Hey, folks.
And because he doesn't realize he's in the wrong story, our own crossover Tweedledee and Tweedledum, Doggett.
It's Doggett.
That was a bit creepy.
That's creepy. Don't do that.
That was a little ominous, which is kind of jarring to the rest of the crew, which kind of fits the tone of this film.
You say that. I actually rather enjoyed it, but it seems I am the only one. So if anyone wants to go into synopsis first.
It's Peter Pan and Alice in Wonderland with black people.
It is a lot more than that.
Yes, about 2.5 hours worth of a lot more than that. A lot more than that.
Lot more than that, yes.
Well, essentially, it starts off, you have a woman talking about her childhood in Victorian England, or aroundabouts, probably dawn of the 20th century earliest. Mm-hmm. And she is Alice with her, I think, little brother Peter and her older brother David. And all of them love to play what is recognizable to us as Peter Pan and Alice in Wonderland. And throughout the entire movie, you see connections to all of them. And then while David and Peter are playing, a freak accident happens, David dies, and the rest of the movie is the family trying to deal with grief and heartbreak told through the point of view of these children as they go in and out of reality and fantasy and try to cope with their now traumatically changed world. So, go off. I know you guys have opinions.
I don't. It's a very pretty movie.
Absolutely.
It's lovely to look at. But I found it very dull and just hard to watch. It's hard to keep my attention, hard to like stay with it. But it is beautiful. The costumes are beautiful. The fantasy elements that they kind of weave into the story are really well shot and executed. But yeah.
To me, it's a story that's attempting to capture the youthful energy that comes with the age of being a dreamer, where everything is imaginative and you create your own worlds. But it feels like it's being told by somebody who doesn't really get that.
Right.
Like, they throw things at you to get you to buy into the fact that this is meant to be a fantasy piece. Mm-hmm. But none of the moments of that fantasy really have any substance to them. They're all, like, the superfluous. If you read an outline of what the Peter Pan books were about, or you read an outline of Alice in Wonderland, and took, like, the top layer of that and plugged it into a movie, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. It didn't really seem to me to get into the inner workings of the way kids' minds work, or why the imagination element of it is so important to them.
Yeah.
I sat for a while after watching the film and tried to think of what I thought this movie was trying to do and what it was supposed to really be about. And I think the imagination elements of it, they were added, but that's not what the film was supposed to be about. I think the film was actually supposed to be about the story of loss and how deep you can go in a moment of loss before you find yourself and come back out of it, and how dramatic of a toll that kind of familial loss can take on the people within the family, and how it, in most cases, isolates every member of a family, and you all go on your own unique journey of how you process that grief. So I felt like that was kind of the story that they were trying to tell, but in the end of it, none of those feelings were ever really satisfactorily resolved for me. Nobody really grew out of their moments. It just went from one scene to the next, and then it ended. And I wanted there to be something that drew everybody back together in the end, or something that irrevocably ended their relationships or drove a wedge between them. And we weren't really given any kind of clarity. The entirety of this project seemed really muddy to me as far as like the emotions and where they were coming from and where they were trying to go and what they were really trying to say. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I have to agree, because I felt like they wanted to play up like this emotional content that I just wasn't getting. You know what I mean? Like, none of it was landing. None of it made it at all relatable or real for me. And it's just, yeah. No, I absolutely agree.
I think I get a lot of bites on the reviews here because I often disagree with people whenever they say a movie's confused. Oftentimes, no, you just don't like what it's doing. And you know what's going on, and these people know what they're doing. And it just comes down to that.
Mm-hmm.
This movie's fucking confused. By the end of it, I'm thinking to myself, so is this magic? Is this not magic? What are you trying to tell me here? There's a climax that happens. It's like, okay, that makes sense in imaginary land or in magical world. But if you're not giving me really either of those things, then this climax is dark. And also, I'm not sure if possible.
Right. A lot of the key moments of it are very ambiguous. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't understand if it happened or if it didn't, if it happened in the real world or the fantasy world. There's just never really any clear lines, which can be fine. Living in a fantasy world is a beautiful way of telling a story, but the
very Pan's
even those moments didn't make,
you know,
strong. Yeah.
Is a good example of it being done well.
Pan's Labyrinth is a great example.
This is not done well.
This is not that. Yeah. Agreed.
See, I didn't agree with any of that, any of what you've said. And I think part of it, too, is that I was also on the review for The Place of No Words, which also dealt with a boy using his imagination and fantasy world in order to deal with grief and mourning.
Mm-hmm.
And that one very much followed along the lines of, this is a boy's fantasy world, period. And it rambled just like a child's fantasy world would. So it really didn't have structure. And then to go to this, where to me, I absolutely saw the structure. I absolutely saw
in and out of reality versus their fantasy. I love the fact that they added structure to the fantasy in order to follow it along. I mean, Doggett, you said it was confusing. I didn't find it confusing at all.
Okay, was it magic or not magic? Ask me that question, goddammit.
It was not magic. It was their minds completely embracing fantasy.
Well, but then it is ambiguous in the matter of what happens to one of the main characters in the story. Right. This shift happens where there's an introduction into the fantasy land, and they make it very clear that that character doesn't come back from that.
Yes.
But if it's all imagination, that doesn't make sense. What does that mean?
Right.
The imagination is how he thinks of himself and the world that he has put himself in, but the way he is acting is in reality. And that was actually one thing I was worried about. Going into Peter Pan would mean something negative for the reality storyline, and I actually wasn't looking forward to it. But to me, the conclusion of him embracing Peter Pan while also impacting the reality did it in a way that to me was absolutely satisfactory. It, to me, honored both of them.
He didn't impact the reality, though. He disappears, and they never resolve how that happens. Like, that's not made clear. If it's only his imagination that allows him to leave...
He joined the Lost Boys. His imagination made him Peter Pan to join the Lost Boys. The reality was him joining the street urchins that he met.
That's super dark.
And I think what you're finding confusing is that I completely disagree with what you think the story is about. You know, you said that this is a film about how a family deals with grief. I completely disagree with that. I think that what the central message of the film is how do you keep your childlike sense of wonder? How do you keep that fantasy, that joy that comes from imagination in a world that is trying to take it away? And this is emphasized by the stories that are told by both the mom and the nurse. You know, the mom has this story about this fairyland where the fairy is saying, you know, come stay here. The world is cold and bad, but this place is great and wonderful. And then the nurse has a story about the orphanage where the people in charge are trying to beat it out of the children. But when they dream, they can go into this happy place. I mean, yes, obviously grief and mourning are a part of this storytelling, but really only as a framework to impose on the children in regards to asking this question. Whether the grief is resolved in the parents, I don't think that's important to the story. It's a matter of how did Peter and Alice keep or not keep their sense of childlike wonder? And to both of them, the answer, I think, was genuine to the original source material, in my opinion.
Now, Mindy, you said it's not really dark. I would say, even in the storybooks, Peter Pan's a child abductor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Whereas, like, in my head, I'm just seeing this, like, this is the descent of madness to, like, right. One child, and the ending is like, oh my god. The ending, one of the main characters does not look like, oh my god, there's magic in the world. It's a look of
terror.
Oh my god, I can't believe that just happened.
Yeah.
Oh, my life's gonna fall apart.
Yeah, it's a look of, oh, you know, some shit's gone down. And it was, she didn't look happy to me, or whimsical or anything like that. It just was, yeah, no. I have to disagree, Mindy, sorry. I usually agree with you, but yeah, this is going to be one I have to disagree with you on.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to ask about in particular is, you know, you mentioned in the beginning, Doggett, that this is a family that is primarily of Black people. Mm-hmm. So I was curious how you guys felt about the depictions of race in this film. Because I know for me, the one thing about David was he was initially accepted into a prestigious school. And I'm like, a Black boy in Victorian England being accepted in a prestigious school, is that not going to be an issue? Mm-hmm. I was getting increasingly frustrated that race wasn't brought up because it has a white woman with a very dark Black husband.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
England was more progressive than America, but that's going to raise some eyebrows and some bricks.
Right.
And the only time that race was brought up was with Alice and her aunt in the tea house where she's like, your father was a lower class, but that doesn't mean you have to be. And I appreciate that they brought that back up. That wasn't just a one-time moment, but that was the only moment that race was brought up. So I was curious how you felt about that kind of dynamic in the film of this is not a white family, it is a multiracial one, and how the world is affected by it.
I don't need reality to hit me in the face all the time. I'm okay with this fantasy world where in this time and period, this Black man's dating this white woman. I'm fine fine with it.
Agreed.
Otherwise, you're not going to have inclusion. It's like, oh, well, it's a period piece, so we got to be practical here. Come on. It's like, no, we don't. It's film. Just do whatever.
No, no. Wait, no. Black people existed in England in Victorian times. I'm not saying don't be diverse.
Exactly. I was going to say, yeah.
No, no. I don't need to see them just being subservient or to be, like, bullied or just be treated like shit all the time. I see that in real life enough. It is a fantasy almost, basically. At least that's what I thought at the beginning. So it's like, okay, give me this. I like this. I enjoy the two of them together.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's perfectly valid, and I definitely see where you're coming from with that. I guess the frustration for me just came from what I think the role of the artist is. You know, for me, the artist has the job of both cataloging and recording the human condition, as well as presenting it and molding it into a way that shows what it could be. And this is a sacred job. I absolutely think it is a sacred one, and I wouldn't be an actor if I didn't believe this. But for every story, there is a balance between which is the more important job to do. Is it better to show what the world is actually like and what humanity is like? Or is it better to show what we wish it could be? And absolutely, in every film, play, book, whatever, there is a fine line between which direction do you go in. And with a movie like this, particularly with a period piece, I personally think that it is much more important to show the reality. And especially with something like this, and again, I think the point of this story is to show the reality coldness of the world and how somebody can take that and still keep their sense of childlike wonder. I've said this already. And if you don't show that reality, if you don't show that discrimination, it does a disservice to A, the people that lived during that time, because it's so easy to just erase it and forget about it and pretend it isn't there, which in turn affects now. And it's not good to forget those types of things. We need to remember those types of things. But then it's also a disservice to the story, because it's all about transformation. And if you don't have a stark transformation from cold reality to fantastical whimsy, it doesn't work. So that was my issue with it. I think that it much more needed to be focused on the reality instead of the ideal in order to show that transformation and show that contrast.
I think it was a very conscious choice, especially knowing the people that acted in this project. I mean, you have Angelina Jolie, whose entire life has lived in a manner of inclusivity, especially with her children, both adoptive and natural born. I mean, not knowing the reasonings why she chose this project necessarily, but knowing her and her character, I'm not at all surprised that the story was told this way. And I found that to be a very beautiful statement in and of itself, to say that there are moments where we need to make that statement and we need to drive home those differences in the way people were treated. And then there's a moment where you need to tell a story in a way that makes everybody feel included and makes it not about the color of your skin, but about your character and about who you are. And I think the way that they didn't bring that aspect of storytelling into the foreground of this was actually great. I really appreciated that. And the one time that they did bring up, as you mentioned, like the class issue, it was about class.
Not about color, yeah.
He was from the working class. She was from the gentry. And that's what that moment was about. It was not about race. They never once brought up race in this project. And I thought that was great, because we need to start seeing in film things be accepted as just they are.
Right.
This is the way of it. It does not matter what you look like or where you come from. We're going to tell a story the way we need to tell a story. And I am here for that empowerment. I am all about it.
That's the main reason why I wanted to review this film, is because I saw it was a multiracial family, and that it wasn't like playing into the, oh, it's weird because they're black or whatever. I'm always very excited anytime I've seen any interracial couple on screen. Being in one myself, I'm like, yay, us, you know?
Yeah. If you're going to tell a fantastical story in a way that you want to tell it, I think this is a great way to go about it.
Yeah.
Also, this is the most I've enjoyed Angelina Jolie in a while.
She was lovely.
I felt like she was lovely, but I felt like she was underused. Like, she was not used to her Angelina Jolie-ness enough. You know, obviously it's the children's story of the children in the cast. It's their story. But I would have liked to have seen her be more, for lack of a better word.
Well, and we never really get the meat of her arc. Like, right. We understand that there are elements of substance abuse in the household.
That's never
and elements
ever
of a different kind of
again.
Abuse from her husband. Yeah, they mention that those are things, but they don't set them up at all, give you any context of where they came from or why. Mm-hmm. And then they don't give you any resolution to them whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, even when the children see those elements and you know that they recognize them and have internalized points of them, they don't ever discuss them. They're not ever brought up in the household, other than we don't talk about this or you don't touch this thing. There's not any resolution.
This gets literally locked away.
Yeah, there are so many elements they throw out there that live in the film but are not talked about, resolved, or given any dynamic range. And that was, I think, a huge missed opportunity.
Right. But isn't that what it would be if it's from the child's point of view? Because it's not the parent's story. It's theirs.
Yeah, but eventually as an adult, the adult is telling the story.
Exactly.
The grown-up child is our storyteller.
Right. It's not being told from little Alice.
There would be something alluded to it or something. There would have been more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's definitely a conflict in the storytelling element of it. Mm-hmm. Is it being told from a kid? Is it being told from an adult?
Right.
It's very obviously being told from an adult's perspective of a time as a child. And I think they missed out on that.
That was also weird if it's coming from her point of view. Yeah, I don't know. Why would she imagine all that? It didn't make sense to me. It didn't hit. It didn't. Yeah. No. I can't even talk about it because it's just like, I was very frustrated about it.
Then how about we get your last words out and final thoughts? See if you can put something together, Harmony.
I'm trying. I really wanted to see something beautiful, and it was a beautifully done thing, like I said, but I think it missed out on some really great opportunities to expand on, even if it's like normalizing multiracial families in terms of like fantasy storytelling. I think they kind of missed the mark here. They could have pushed harder. They could have, I don't know. I'm just very frustrated with the movie. I did not enjoy it. I had a hard time staying with it. Like I said, I wanted more and I got so much less than I was expecting. And that's a huge disappointment to me. So that being said, I'm going to give it a 3.8 out of 10 drink me bottles.
And you dog it?
Guys, it's been really great to agreeing with you for the first time ever. And I really hope we do this again. That being said, I disagree with all of you. I think Mindy's right. I like this movie so much.
Yo, shut up. Man. No.
No, I did. I actually did like this movie. It made no sense to me. But I did enjoy it. I enjoyed the imagination of a child. I enjoyed the fucked up kind of ending. You can interpret it as fucked up if you wanted to, which I fully am. It's really weird if you think about it too much. But besides that, we didn't talk about him. I like the family we're introduced to, the brother and the father. Not the main family, like of the
extended
of some other
family.
Characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I enjoyed those characters a lot.
Oh, the uncle?
Yeah, the Mad Hatter.
Oh.
The uncle yeah. and grandfather.
Yeah, and they didn't even have to like go into like deep explanation. Like, you can think about it like, oh, he went crazy in a factory or something.
Well, I mean, Mad Hatters are called that because they went crazy on Mercury.
Yes.
Yeah, I love this shit. Well, I don't love it, but I thought it was really good. Maybe it's not for everybody, but it was for me. So I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 magnifying glasses.
And what about you, Jen? Giving us a downer again.
Jeez, peg me in the corner, why don't you?
I know, right?
Yeah, when I saw that Brenda Chapman had directed this, I got really excited. When I saw the trailer for it, I got really excited. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brenda Chapman has done a few projects, but the ones she's done have been wonderful. And
Prince of Egypt and Brave.
And Brave, yeah.
Two of her big ones.
So going into that, I expected high impact, empowerment, really great messages and lessons learned. And I didn't get any of that. I really didn't get any of that. And for as long as it was, I wanted it to have more meat. I could have done with an hour less of this story because 3/4 of it just had no emotional dynamic range to me. And, you know, beautiful opportunities that they had to weave the fantasy into the reality. It just felt like we're going to cram every visual element from these stories that you know of into it in a very basic and unintuitive storytelling manner that could have been done a lot more elegantly. And I'm just disappointed by it. I really am. I really wanted to give this one a high rating. So I will say I'm going to give this 4 out of 10 repressed stories via ships in glass bottles.
Well, doing a high five to Doggett, I really liked this movie. You know, initially I was worried because Doggett's there going, it's 2.5 hours. I'm like, oh no, this is going to drag. An hour in, I looked at it as like, oh crap, an hour's passed? Wow, that flew by. Because I was engrossed in this story. I really love when people take common domain characters and do something interesting with them. I love when people take something that everybody knows and does something new with them. And that's why I loved all the little references. And yes, they weren't as a cohesive story as this is the way Peter Pan goes, this is the way Alice in Wonderland goes. But it's little kids taking all these pieces and will then turn them into something in their brain. So I didn't mind the fact that they weren't as connected together as they could have been. I will admit there was one big glaring exception in regards to that that took me out for a while, which was Peter met the Lost Boys before he met the street urchins that would become them, which does go against the internal logic of the way the fantasy is set up. But other than that, I thought it worked really well. I think, you know, some of the complaints that you guys have said have dealt with the fact that the storytelling doesn't match the narrator. And honestly, I didn't mind that. I didn't mind the fact that this was Alice as an adult telling it. Because, and it is mentioned in the film as well as being very central in the books, obviously, Alice only ever visited Wonderland. Peter lives in Neverland. Peter engrossed himself in that fantasy world. Alice fell down the rabbit hole, but she came back out. And so, of course, their experiences and their feelings towards falling into and being fully immersed in their fantasy worlds is gonna be different. So the fact that Alice was much more nebulous about it, and you honestly couldn't really tell how she felt about falling down the rabbit hole as an adult, I thought that worked too. It really did not bother me that Alice was an unreliable narrator because of that. And I loved the way that reality blended into fantasy and back again. Were all the storylines tied up? No, but that didn't bother me because in real life, they're not. Things don't get wrapped up in little bows. And especially when you're a little kid trying to understand these things, they're especially not going to get wrapped up in little bows. But fantasy is going to smooth it over. And I think it told that really well. As I said, I do wish that they had focused a little more on racial elements. Although I will admit, you guys did bring up a really good point, which is, you know, this is a movie intended for kids. And when it comes to reaching out to children who are still forming what it means to be human, it is incredibly important to send the message of, you belong to the story. Let them be in the story, even if they are quote-unquote different for whatever arbitrary reason society has decided. So while I do think that it is incredibly important for particularly histories to tell the way society lived accurately and show those divisions and not sugarcoat anything, I understand why they went in a different direction. So I'm not exactly sure how I felt about that. But all in all, had a really good time with this film. So I am going to give it 8.5 references to Titanic that bugged me from the beginning. Did any of you notice that the parents' names were Jack and Rose?
No!
God. Jack and Rose, a lot of the conflict happens with boats.
Oh, that, I'm going to lower my grade. I'm going to give it a 3 now. This just...
Oh, it was all so ham-fisted. Everything was ham-fisted. Oh, no. Oh, God. Okay.
How was the Doggett seat, Mindy? You know, showing everybody something you love and them just stomping on it.
You know, it builds character as a person. And you know what? It's okay when people are wrong.
I think you're both in fantasy land, so there you go.
Up and away!